Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making an Amen-style pad in Ableton Live 12 and pushing it into darker, more aggressive territory with distortion, jungle swing, and tight rhythmic control. This is not just about making something sound dirty. The real goal is to build a sound that actually works in a drum and bass arrangement. Something that can open an intro, support a drop, or sit underneath a DJ transition without wrecking the kick, snare, and sub. That's the difference between a cool texture and a proper production tool. First, get your Amen source ready. If you already have an Amen break recording, drop it into Sampler. For this kind of pad, we're not chasing the full break energy right away. We want the ghost notes, hat tail, and moving texture inside the break. So think less about the big snare hits and more about the in-between detail. If you want more control, switch Sampler into slice mode and focus on the slices that feel like atmosphere rather than hard transients. If you want a smoother, more continuous bed, keep it in classic mode and work with a looped section. Either way, the source should feel like it has Amen DNA, but not like a straight-up loop pasted on top of the track. Before you distort anything, clean it up a little. Put auto-filter on the source and tame the extremes. High-pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, so you leave room for the kick and sub. Then low-pass it somewhere around 3 to 8 kHz to keep the bright snap from getting harsh too early. We're setting the stage here. In DNB, low-end discipline is everything. Now let's turn the break into something more pad-like. Load the audio onto a fresh track and warp it to the session tempo. Around 174 BPM is the classic zone, but the concept works anywhere in that jungle and DNB range. If you want the sound smeared and atmospheric, Complex Pro is usually the go-to warp mode. It helps turn the break into a more fluid texture instead of a rigid loop. Add a short fade-in so you avoid clicks, and keep the clip level under control while you shape it. A good starting point is to keep the pad several dB below the drums during the design phase. You want to hear the motion, not overwhelm the mix. If the source feels too busy, don't be afraid to loop just half a bar or one bar. Repetition can be your friend here. In drum and bass, a repeating texture can become the groove. Now for the fun part, distortion. But don't just slam one heavy effect on it and hope for the best. That usually turns the sound into fuzzy mush. Instead, build the drive in stages. A strong chain would be saturator first, then pedal or roar for extra color, then EQ8, and maybe drum bus if you want more aggression. Start with saturator and add a moderate amount of drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB. Keep soft clip on, and trim the output so the level stays stable. Then add pedal if you want more bite or amp style coloration. Keep the drive moderate at first and listen to how the mid-range starts to wake up. After that, use EQ8 to clean up what the distortion creates. If the pad starts getting cloudy, cut some low mids around 200 to 400 Hz. If it turns brittle or fizzy, tame the harsh zone around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if you need more room for the sub, high pass a little more aggressively. This is one of the big DNB lessons. Distortion works best when it's controlled, not when it's left to run wild. Now let's give it jungle swing. This is where the pad stops sounding like a static drone and starts feeling alive. Open the groove pool and audition some swing settings. A subtle groove might sit around 54 to 58%. If you want a more obvious jungle drag, try 60 to 62%. Apply the groove lightly to the pad track, not necessarily to the whole session. The drums can stay tight and punchy, while the texture leans back a little. You can also nudge selected slices by a few milliseconds. Even tiny shifts of 5 to 15 ms can change the feel a lot. Let some ghost accents sit slightly delayed while the main hits stay grounded. If you're triggering slices from MIDI, vary note lengths too. Short stabs, longer holds, and little timing offsets all help the pad breathe. A really useful trick is to let the pad sit just behind the drums. That slight lag gives you that classic swampy jungle pocket. The drums hit first, and the texture trails them just enough to feel human and heavy. One important warning though, don't copy the exact swing of the main break if the track already has one. Too much matching makes everything flatten out. You want contrast, not duplication. Next, add movement with filtering and modulation. A pad like this should evolve over time. Put auto filter on it and automate the cutoff across the arrangement. You can keep it darker and more hidden in the early bars, maybe around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz, then open it up gradually toward 3 to 6 kHz as you approach the drop. In the final bar, give it a little extra lift with a cutoff or resonance push. For extra motion, try chorus ensemble for width, but keep it subtle. Phaser flanger can work too if you want a slightly industrial swirl, and echo with short delay times and low feedback can create a nice rhythmic haze. The key is not to overdo it. In darker drum and bass, movement should feel haunted, not flashy. Now we need to make sure the sound actually works in a real mix. This is where a lot of people mess up. An Amen-style pad can easily destroy the low-end focus if it gets too big. So check it in mono. Use utility if you need to narrow the width, especially in the low end. A good rule is to keep the highs wide enough to feel spacious, but keep the low mids more centered. If the distortion is causing too much bloom around 180 to 300 Hz, cut that area before any bus compression. The snare lane is sacred in jungle and DNB. Don't let the pad sit in the same space and flatten the backbeat. If you want a cleaner stereo strategy, split the sound into two chains. Keep one chain stable and more mono-friendly, and make another chain dirtier, wider, and more animated. That way you're thinking in layers, not just one giant effect chain. A clean core plus a ruined shadow layer often gives the most usable result. Now compress gently if needed. Glue compressor or compressor can hold the pad together, but don't crush it. A ratio around 2 to 4 to 1. A moderate attack, and a fairly quick release is usually enough. You're just catching the peaks and keeping the movement consistent. A few dB of gain reduction is plenty. At this point, start thinking like a DJ Tools producer. Ask yourself, what job is this pad doing in the arrangement? Is it an intro atmosphere, a pre-drop tension layer, a breakdown bridge, or an outro tool? The answer changes how you shape it. For an intro, keep it filtered, narrow, and lightly distorted. Let the rhythm suggest itself without fully revealing it. For a pre-drop section, open the filter, increase the saturation a bit, and let the swing become more obvious. For a breakdown, strip out the low end and let the pad carry the Amen identity on its own. And for an outro, thin it out and leave enough ambience so another tune can mix in smoothly. A strong arrangement example would be something like this. The first 8 bars are filtered and restrained. The next 8 bars bring in a bit more percussion and swing. Then the pad opens wider as the full drum energy approaches. Once the drop hits, the pad becomes a dark bed under the main drums and bass. Then, for the outro, you bring back the wider atmospheric version and let it decay into the mix. That's the DJ Tool mindset. Clean transitions, clear function, and enough musical identity to keep the energy moving. Now commit when it feels right. Resemble the result. Freeze or flatten it, or just print it to audio. This is a big part of advanced DNB workflow. Once you've got the vibe, stop over-editing it. Resampling lets you turn a complicated chain into something you can actually play with. You can reverse it, chop it, stretch it, or automate it into fills and transitions. Save a few versions too. Make one that's dark and wide, one that's more intro-friendly and mono-safe, and one that's grittier for the drop. That way you're not forcing one sound to do every job. If you want to push this further, try a clean and ruined split. Keep one chain filtered and stable and send another through heavier saturation, delay, and width. Blend that second chain only when you need more tension. Or resample the pad, reverse it, and add short echo tails for a pre-drop suction effect that gives you movement without sounding like a generic riser. Another good variation is to automate small changes instead of huge sweeps. Tiny shifts in the 250 to 400 Hz range or the 1 to 2 kHz range can feel more menacing than obvious filter lifts. In darker rollers, restraint creates impact. So to recap, start with Amen's source material, not random ambience. Shape it into a pad with warping and looping. Add distortion in stages and control the tone with EQ. Divot jungle swing through groove and micro timing. Automate filter and width so it evolves across the arrangement. Keep the low end clean, keep the stereo feel disciplined, and resample once it's working. This is how you turn a brick-derived texture into a proper Ableton Live 12 DJ tool for drum and bass. Dark, usable, moving, and mix ready. Now go build it, resample it, and make it hit.